Renee Live. I'm so excited for this evening. Of course, I'm excited for every show that I have. But tonight, we're going to be talking some UFOs. That's right, those unidentified flying objects. Those things that more people have been noticing, or are they really that we've been noticing in the skies at night a lot lately, and some of them even during the day. But either way, I don't think we're alone. And tonight, we're going to knock this show out of this world, because that's what we're going to be talking about, is out-of-this-world stuff. And tonight I have Antonio Paris, who's from Aerial Phenomenon, and with us is also Nina. Hello, Antonio. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just want to thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. And actually, I did a shout-out for you on Thursday night's show, too, and we reported one of your latest reports for a possible UFO. So
great.
So we did a little shout out for you. You know, you really have quite the background here, and it really impresses me, because first of all, you're based out of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? You're based out of Maryland. And
that is correct.
Okay. And I mean, your background is just amazing. You know, you're the lead investigator. You're the founder. You're former U.S. Army counterintelligence officer and Department of Defense counterintelligence special agent. You conducted and supported with those in that capacity of both of those and supported national security investigations concerning Department of Defense personnel and those who were suspected of espionage on behalf of foreign power or terrorist organizations. You know, I mean, just absolutely amazing. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on.
Oh, well, yes, thank you. I did have an interesting career, and I loved all that stuff that I did. And a few years ago, I decided that I want to go into the civilian life and become a consultant instead. I didn't want the Army or Department of Defense to be my entire life. I just wanted it to be a chapter in my life. And I moved forward from that, and I enjoyed what I did, and I enjoy what I'm doing now.
Very nice. So that all led you into doing what you're doing now, and you're also part of MUFON.
Yes, I am. So I kind of wear two hats for MUFON. I am a field investigator for Maryland and Washington, D.C., and I decided also to kind of start up my own group here, and about a year ago we started Aerial Phenomena, and it's not necessarily that we are competing with other ufologist groups out there. We're not trying to be better than anyone else. What we want to do is approach the subject in a little different than most people do, and become part of that network. That's what MUFON is, the network of various UFO organizations, and assist the UFO community in trying to identify what these things are.
Right. Now, I've sent you photographs of things that I've taken, and I have also, just the other night, Angel Corbin and I, I think it was Monday night, we were outside, and we saw a whole bunch of stuff, and we tried videotaping it, and of course, nothing would come out. And we did take some pictures, but it was interesting, some of the stuff that we saw.
Yeah, the human eye and the camera never really correlate. You can see something that you are like, oh, wow, what's that? And you pull out, you know, whether it's a mobile phone or a camera, and you know, when you go home and you look at and analyze the data, and you're like, that's not what I saw. Unless you're prepared and you're out there with some really expensive telescopic lenses and you know what you're looking for and when it's going to show up, maybe you're looking to capture something. But then you have to be careful when I receive cases where the evidence looks like it was prepared. Sometimes I have to hold that a little skeptical, you know. Most reports of UFO are very random. they don't show up when you want them to show up. You hear a lot about the people going out there to go hunt UFOs, and they're going to go spend a night out at Area 51 to try to capture something in the sky. And 99% of the time, they don't capture anything in the sky because they're very random in nature, and most UFO cases that we investigated, the evidence is very lackluster because the person's such an awe and surprise at the moment in time that they just really don't have time to pull out a camera, pull out anything, and take a photograph evidence of what they're seeing. So I'm very skeptical sometimes when I get a case where the evidence is too good. I tell everybody, it's random when it does happen. The best that we can do is take the report as best as possible, interview the witness, and get the answer.
Interesting. Now, have you noticed, I looked at your page the other day, obviously, and there were tons and tons and tons of reported cases, even as of recently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you noticing that more and more people are just starting to see this stuff? Or do you think that, if we actually are seeing these UFOs, is it,
I don't think there's any I look at the data and I analyze it, and I don't think that people are seeing more. I don't think there's an increase in UFO activity. What I think is that there's an increase of people who are seeing these things as populations grow, as media grows, Twitter grows, Facebook, all these things grow. People see reports and they're able to communicate this thing faster than it used to be. A good example of this would be I get every month, I look at the UFO statistics that we get, and California, for example, had hundreds of UFO sightings last month, whereas Maryland had a handful, maybe only three or four. And when I look at that data, I have to analyze it from one end. For example, we know that Maryland and D.C. has a very highly restricted airspace. So we're going to see a lot of less objects flying in the sky. And then whereas in California, they have very less restricted airspace. So that's
right.
Not to say that extraterrestrials, if they exist, are conforming to FAA regulations in Maryland. It's just that there's less things being reported in Maryland and D.C. because the vectors that the aircraft fly with, they're very strict, and they're not random like they're in other states. Moreover, a lot of the reports that I'm also getting, I think you look a good scenario is also, 6 months ago I rarely had any cases, and everybody's telling me, there's not that many UFO reportings out there. But I've been marketing enough, I've been doing some, putting this out there, and it has. The aerial phenomena popularity is gained, we've been getting a spike of UFO reports. So people now are starting to know who we are, so we're getting more reports. So if you look at that in the graph, it'll look like there's an increase in UFO reporting, but there's not. It's just that people have become more aware of us, so we've been getting an increase in UFO reports. So you can look at it.
Very cool, very cool. Hi, Nina.
Hello, Renee.
I'm sorry I didn't bring you out in the beginning. I apologize.
No,
I apologize.
I'm just listening.
Is there anything that you wanted to ask Antonio?
No, I'm just actually listening to the information he's giving us. So go for it, girl.
Okay. now, here's something interesting, Antonio, and I'm going to throw this out here at you. What I find to be really, really interesting is that when I see these things in the sky myself,
mm-hmm.
I also see shadow people.
You know what? Even today when we interviewed we went out to Baltimore, interviewed a witness today, and this is not the first time that we've had usually close encounter cases that's followed by some type of paranormal activity. we have one of our investigators who's kind of in the background doing some research regarding the correlation between why people who are experiencers, that's what we call them, people who see a UFO, and why the close encounter cases are always typically followed by some type of paranormal activity. A good example, we had a case in Canada in January that was a close encounter, and the witness told me, you know, days after his encounter, he had paranormal activity in the house, things moving, seeing shadows. His kids were saying that there were some little kids running around the house, things that he'd never experienced before his UFO encounter. And the same thing today, when we talked to the guy up in Maryland, he was like, never in his life did he have paranormal activity in his home until after the UFO experience. So that is interesting. There's all kind of theories, you know, behind that. People talk about they're sharing the same energy. People say they're vortexes, different dimensions. I don't really that's not the kind of stuff we do. We're more of a nuts and bolts investigative group. But we do have people in my group that you know, different ends of the spectrum when it comes to belief. And I support them when they look into that type of investigation.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because when Angel was here last week and we were out there, I mean, her iPhone was totally, completely charged. And within 10 mm-hmm. minutes, it was dead, absolutely dead. And we saw shadow people above the tree lines, and we saw shadow people along the tree lines. And, I mean, they were like maybe 30, 40 feet away from us,
mm-hmm.
you know, near a building. And it was just absolutely amazing what we were experiencing and what we were seeing. And you know, we were both like, wow, look at this. And, you know, and we actually saw one of them that had white lights, and it was actually rotating. The whole thing was rotating in the sky.
Wow.
And it was just, and we could not capture it no matter what we did. You know, we tried so hard. And it just, I mean, and it was just amazing what we had seen, but the shadow people were there. And then there was one that was there, because there were a few of them, and the meteor shower was going on also at the same time. And so.
Well, that's right there interesting. Maybe there's a correlation between the two.
Well, it was. I'll tell you, it was very, very interesting. And what I found most interesting, like I said, is that there were a few of them, and one of them just, like, faded away. It was gone. You know, it was gone. But we, you know, we didn't have any fear. We didn't have any fear or anything like that. Does anybody, like, when they see, you know, when there's a correlation between seeing something in the sky and seeing shadow people, do they feel a fear?
Yeah, the guy we spoke to today was, you know, I have a pretty good, you know, radar for sniffing out a hoaxer or somebody who's BSing me. This guy was very sincere today. He was shaking, trembling. He was in fear. And my investigators and I, we looked at each other during the interview, and we were like, wow, this guy is a really good actor. Or he was serious. He was really scared concerning his experience. So I take those things into consideration during the investigative process. So I'd say about maybe 7 out of the 10 cases, we kind of see people always, they're scared, especially if they have some kind of paranormal activity.
Right.
And some people even have gone as far as saying that they think that some of their UFO experiences, they've had experiences of some kind of demonic entity in their own. But we, as far as, you know, I like that kind of stuff, but we don't do that. So I do network with paranormal groups in the area, even as far as paranormal groups in London. So when we do get UFO cases that kind of cross the threshold between ufology and paranormal, I tend to share those cases out. And in most cases, I would let the paranormal group take the lead to those type of cases, because we want to concentrate on nuts and bolts of ufology, you know, the aerial phenomena, the thing that's up in the air that people see, whether it's like triangles, whether it's saucer, orbs and like. Very rarely do we do any type of close encounter cases, like the alien abduction cases. A lot of the time when we interview these people of alleged abduction, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, and my personal belief and belief of most people in my team is that a lot of times these people need some type of medical assistance, some type of help that's beyond the scope of what we do. So we'll take a case, we'll interview them, but we just don't leave them in the dust. You know, we'll research with somebody in the local area that does do that kind of stuff, and we'll pass on the witness that type of thing.
Angel just said because of the other night, she's still having problems ever since. She went to the store asking why, and new phone won't hold the charge because it's a new phone for her. And there's nothing wrong with it. Just drain the battery. Have to order a new phone. Your area drained my phone and laptop batteries. Neither hold a charge, never long now. She's laughing, but she's got a frown face. And you know, it's just very, very high activity around here. And maybe that's, you know, why. I mean, you know, with Angel also being intuitive and myself, you know, of course, when we first saw, we like jumped, you know, everybody's going to jump, you know, when you see something, that's just normal, you know, but, you know, maybe that's why we didn't like really have, you know, such a bad reaction, why we didn't feel fear, because intuitively and stuff, we didn't feel it. We didn't pick up on any fear.
That's sometimes a good thing. That's sometimes a good thing. We've gotten cases where people felt that first that they were meant to see that sighting. Second, in some cases we had where people felt at peace and they were driven towards that light or that object, and that there was nothing to be feared about what they were experiencing. And then sometimes in the other end of the spectrum, we'll get people that are just feared for their life.
Right. Now, excuse me. Now, in that case, with people who haven't seen, like, you know, shadow people and stuff, and they've just seen the UFOs, do they say anything about their batteries draining or anything like that? Do they mention any of that?
I think I've only gotten one UFO case where this was in Parkville, Maryland, where the witness claimed seeing the orb, but a set of three orbs, so we had three separate witnesses, and fortunately we were actually able to identify the object. They were Chinese lanterns. This thing happened on New Year's Eve. So we, you know, after the investigation, we did everything. We haven't replicated it. It turned out to be just a Chinese lantern from a party. But what's, you know, the witness, they told me that same night that I believe they had an iPhone as well. Their iPhone just kind of just shut off and wouldn't turn on for about a day or two. And they also had some issues with the internet and their cable TV that day. I don't know if I can correlate the two between the two events. I have the witness telling me, yes, this happened, and he saw the three orbs, but we were able to identify those orbs pretty positively. So was it a coincidence? I don't know. But, you know, back in May, I called the guy back again. He had no problem with the phone or internet again. So I don't know if that incident had anything to do with the sighting. So it is a coincidence that happened the same day. But was Chinese lanterns, were they the influence on the electromagnetic phenomenon? I don't know.
Okay. Now, when you investigate these, UFO cases and stuff like that, what do you usually come to a conclusion? And, you know, are more of them founded than unfounded?
I would say, and I think almost any other professional investigation, investigative group out there will tell you that about 90, I would say, well, in my numbers specifically, 95% of the 74 cases we've opened and investigated were identified as either something that was man-made, whether it's an exotic aircraft, a drone, blimp, you name it. On my website, you see the hundreds of objects that are out there that look extraterrestrial, but they're actually made right here in the prison. We get lens flares, dirty camera sensors, natural phenomena, and then the occasional hoax. And then the remaining 5% of the cases we have of those 74, so just a handful, is something that we went through the investigative process, including interviews, and try to replicate the event. And we were not able to identify what the witness saw. So, in its strictest sense, those cases remain unresolved and unidentified. Nevertheless, evidence of extraterrestrial life is lackluster at best. And evidence of that, beyond a reasonable doubt, does not exist at this moment. So I cannot say that those handful of cases that I have that are unresolved or unidentified, I can't attribute that to something extraterrestrial. Because we just don't, you know, we have a lot of stories. We have an occasion, a couple of videos or photos here and there of alleged UFOs. But as an investigator, we have to keep our eyes open and close those cases as unresolved and unidentified. And who knows, maybe in the future we can open a similar case again and then try to identify that again. But, you know, our intent is we're not debunkers. That's not what we do. Our intent is to educate, is our number one priority, educate the public that, hey, what you're seeing out there is strange. We have an investigative process, and 95% of the time we come to a conclusion that it's something that can be explained. And that's what we're trying to educate the public on what ufology is and what ufology isn't. And a lot of time when I go out to these conferences, I tell them, like, hey, look, you know, ufology, you go into Barnes & Noble, you go to the bookstore or library, you ask for a book, hey, where's this book on UFOs? They don't tell you if it's a science section. They don't tell you if it's a non-fiction section. They point out the corner where the books on Bigfoot are, Loch Ness Monster. That's because ufology has gotten kind of the dirty word of, oh, it's science fiction, it's the black arts, it's, you know, part of the cult now. And unfortunately, you know, my personal opinion is that ufology was a something worthy, and in the last 40, 50 years, it's been hijacked, you know, by armchair investigators, conspiracy theories, hoaxers, you name it. So here enters aerial phenomena with a vision. Our vision is to change ufology back to a worthy subject that warrants attention. And the way we want to do that is by educating people. Hey, you know, 99% of the crap that you see on the internet and all these videos on the internet, that's culture, those are conspiracy theories. That's not real ufology. But, you know, we'll see what happens in the future. But I think we're headed in the right direction, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Angel just said here about the other night, she said, crazy stuff was happening in the sky. We walked out on the porch. It was like a soft pink strobe light pulsing around also, and she found that odd, and she could feel it, or she could at least, and I just got booted up here, and it started to trip her out. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. Yeah. It was really interesting.
Yeah, you know, we get so many types of reports, from the bizarre to sometimes, you know, bordering the lane. But we accept all UFO cases. Some, you know, we actually have like a triage because we get so many of them, and I always concentrate on the ones that have you know, it's like a news report. You want as much information as possible. We need witness information so we can, you know, try to give them a call back.
Sometimes.
I get a UFO report that's just one sentence. I saw something in the sky. And, you know, they don't need a callback number or a description. And those, I can't do nothing with those cases. You know,
right.
I have to put my manpower in the cases where people who report something want to be part of the investigation. An investigation requires two parties, the investigator and the witness. They can't really open an investigation where somebody sends something anonymous or, you know, doesn't want to answer my questions, my basic questions, you know, like when did this happen, what time.
Right, right.
We're not about, you know, chasing, you know, UFOs. We're about, you know, seriously investigating this stuff. And, you know, whether you're just like a detective investigating a homicide, you have to go out, collect evidence, talk to witnesses. You just can't do it from, you know, sitting behind a laptop.
Right, right. Royal said there's never, ever a shortage of sightings in the Hudson Valley. He's down there by the Hudson River, and he said there's never a shortage in that area. And
the Hudson River, we get a lot of different types of cases, but that's also like the Chesapeake Bay, the Potomac. A lot of these big waterways are actually used as vectors. Like different types of aircraft. They're like highways. They can follow the, they'll follow the Hudson River. I'm not saying that what he's seen is man-made, but a lot of times we'll get people saying, why do I keep seeing this strange-looking aircraft flying over the boat or over a certain body of water? Here, at least in the Maryland area, we have a lot of defense contractors. A lot of defense contractors working on UAVs, working on drones, especially down in the Tucson area. And we get tons of reports of black triangles, running amok. And it's just the Navy testing X-47 drones. For any witness is get as much information as possible and report it. You know, report it. And hopefully either myself or another
right, right. Nina, you have a question too.
Yeah, I actually, Antonio, have you encountered anybody that have had those microchips implanted in them?
Continue your question, I'm sorry.
No, I was just curious on if you have and what was your findings on that.
Well, I approach those a little bit. I approach those cases also kind of in the alien abduction type of cases. One case we had out of Philly not too long ago, the guy seemed pretty legit. The witness was very legit. He actually came up here to Annapolis. We talked for a while, and he allegedly claimed that he's driving along New Jersey, I believe it's a turnpike, saw a flash of light and noticed that about 18 minutes have gone by. Not long after, he noticed he was getting like an itch in his leg or something. Started having these dreams, you know, how you typically, notice these people who claim abduction, they start seeing dreams of a light or they're in some kind of hospital or something. So he went out and had a x-ray done on his leg, and the x-ray that he showed me, there's something there. I mean, you know, it's such a bad x-ray. You know, he's taken his leg to three different places, and we got the x-ray. There's something there. He's claiming that it's extraterrestrial. he doesn't want it removed, which is, you know, I think 99% of the cases I've seen, people don't want to be removed for some reason. They feel that they're attached to it. So as an investigator, to me, it's a good story. He's got something there in his leg, but I can't lean forward one end and say, yep, that's extraterrestrial. That's it. You know, I believe the guy. He seemed very sincere, but that's another case that's unresolved. And then today we physically went up to Simonian, which is in Baltimore, and interviewed another guy who said that he was having a dream, and I think I tweeted the picture of the beam that he was stepping in. It was like a scroll, something like a cross, a scroll, and a gray alien. and then he woke up, and the implant was literally sticking out of his arm. Metal implant was sticking out of his arm, like they were doing some type of HD surgery and didn't complete it. So he literally pulled it out of his hand, excuse me, out of his arm, and he said, look, it was a little piece of metal kind of shaped like an omega signal. And he put the object in a Ziploc bag. And so he put the Ziploc bag in on top of the dresser. He goes to bed, and the piece of metal was missing. However, it looked like it burned through the plastic. So he had this dream that they came back and retrieved the metal object. So we went out there today. We interviewed the guy. Guy seemed sincere. I don't think he was lying. Obviously, something happened to him. The investigation continues. For all I know, his hand slipped across a barbed wire and he got a piece of metal stuck in there. I don't know. We took some radiation tests. Nothing really conclusive came up. We took an EMF test. Nothing really there either. So what we have now is a really good story from a guy who seems credible, but we don't have any physical proof.
Right. I actually had I had a very weird experience, and it's not your typical, flashes of lights and things like that. But it was about a year ago, It was daytime. It wasn't, early in the morning. I think it was closer to, I would say, maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I live up in the mountains, so I'm driving up the mountain, and I'm coming around a curve, and this. I have to see if I could describe it. It reminded me of, did you ever see, I know this sounds crazy, but did you ever see that movie Alien, Predator? It was the alien that when
the
he was
born. The old school one in the
70s? Yeah, the one where he would morph into, almost look like this liquefied, transparent thing.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. And or what I best could describe is if you're looking at a fire, you can see like the heat signature of the fire. Off to the side, it almost looks like waves of water. I can't explain it, but I think you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, sure.
So
almost like a mirage.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I thought it was. So I see this thing. It was a big mass, and it came, and it just, and I'm looking at it, totally not thinking of what this thing is. I'm like, what is that? And I'm saying, what is that? So I slow down my car, and I'm like looking at this thing, and it stops in front of my car. Almost like on the hood of my car. And I'm looking at it, and I'm totally, it's not registering at this point, and I'm saying, what could that be? And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden I said to myself, holy shit, this is not normal, you know what I'm saying? So I said, and I started to not freak out, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is a little more than a heat source here, I'm thinking, God knows what it is, I thought it was a fog, I don't even know what I was thinking. And when I had that thought of it, what is that, this thing shot across the rest of the road and up, and it disappeared.
Wow.
I never saw it again. What's that?
You're the Mothman?
No, I don't, somebody said that to me about the, I'm like, I don't even know who the Mothman is. But,
Google the Mothman. There's been an increase in Mothman sightings this summer. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, I don't know. I was totally sober. I wasn't drinking, and I totally disregarded that story because you talk to people and they're like thinking you're crazy, and I've tried to explain it to a couple of my friends and they're like, they're like, really? I'm like, yeah. I don't have an explain. It didn't have a form, It didn't see eyes. It was nothing like that. It was just this mass of, I don't know what it was, but it was gone. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. So, have you ever had anybody explain anything like that to you?
I had a case in Phoenix not too long ago. When was that? Like March. I had a case in Phoenix where the witness saw something that looked kind of like, she explained it as a almost like a jellyfish in this giant purple orange jellyfish in the sky. That was kind of just wobbling and stuff like that. Yeah, that's probably the closest opposite.
Yeah, this wasn't
not,
the guy. Yeah.
Not in the street. We did have a case where a guy claimed to have seen the Mothman here in, I think it was Baltimore. But we don't do cryptozoology in Texas. I think it was somebody else. But
on
a stack of Bibles, he saw the map of the Mothman.
I don't know what the Mothman is, but now I have to look it up.
You need to look it up. And then there's a movie by Richard Gere, too. It's very scary.
I heard of it, but I never saw it. So it's interesting. Now it's my. Now, what is your take on Area 51? What do you think Area 51 really is, and what is going on there?
It's a good thing you brought that up, because I just I personally went out there and filmed a documentary on Area 51, on what it is and what it isn't. My personal belief, I researched probably for about a year, including going out there and investigating and doing interviews. I did a couple of dozen interviews out there, including a couple of former people that worked there, a couple of people at Nellis that currently work there. And the conclusion that I came up with is that, yeah, there's a lot of classified top secret developments, specifically aerial technology and weapon systems that's going on in Area 51. It's a lot of hush-hush classified stuff. I personally believe, I don't think there's any type of reverse engineering or alien technology that's going out there. For me, I think that's a convergence of conspiracy theories, hoaxes, the bad name that ufology got, the rumors that wreckage from the Roswell incident was transported over there. This is my opinion, my personal opinion. I don't think there's nothing really going on. Again, there has just been no physical proof that type of activity is going on in there. Once in a while, you'll have a whistleblower that'll come out in very little, maybe one or two, that might be credible. They'll come out and say, yep, there's stuff going on in there. But again, they're just stories. They never come out with physical proof, evidence, a photo, a paper, anything alleging to that type of activity. So to me, it's a lot of folklore, a lot of conspiracy. A lot of faith-based things that we believe in, and it's just coupled with years of rhetoric, Cold War hysteria, the nuclear weapons testing hysteria, and my favorite is the explosion of the cheesy movie from the 50s and 60s that gave Area 51 its name. As an investigator, I keep my eyes open. Hopefully, in the future, something will come out of that. But my personal belief is that I don't think there's nothing going on there other than a lot of black projects regarding national security.
Nice.
Now, what about there? Supposedly, claims that there's a whole underground workings going on in Area 51.
Yeah, and most bases that do that type of work have underground bases. That's just for national security purposes. We have a lot of spy satellites from other foreign countries that on a daily basis go over these. They pass over these bases looking for the kind of things that we're developing. In order to protect that, we need to do what the government does. They're called denial and deception programs. We don't want to build the next stealth aircraft in the open. We have to put those in underground bunkers. Where radar penetration is impossible from these satellites. So a lot of these classified projects, whether it's Area 51 or any other base, they will tend to have underground shelters, underground bunkers, and that's to prevent these spy satellites, whether they're from Russia, China, et cetera, from penetrating those thin hangars that you typically see. And that's what it is. A lot of that is to protect the spy satellites from taking photos of what we're doing. They're hiding stuff from foreign nations, but they're not. It's probably not hiding extraterrestrial aircraft.
Okay, we have a few questions to answer. Excuse me, Royal wants. Sorry, excuse me. Royal wants to know, what are the hot spots in the U.S. And Anne wants to know what are the hot spots in Canada, because she's up in Canada.
Excellent question. The hot spots for the U.S., and you have to look at a map when you look at this, because it really has to do with population density. The more people you have in a populous area, the more UFO reports you get. A good example is Delaware gets almost zero reports because the population is low, where California and Texas are huge hotspots because activity there tends to be seen by more than one person. So the reports tend to be inflated. So if you go into Newport or MUFON and you can query where the hotspots are, they're typically the bigger states, Texas, California, Phoenix, those type of areas, whereas smaller areas like Maryland, very little activity, Delaware, Pennsylvania gets some activity up there. And for some reason, the big cities where there's a lot of light pollution, we don't get a lot of reports either because of the light pollution. So if you want to go out UFO hunting with your night vision goggles, you'll probably have a good chance of seeing something in Texas. California is huge because there's a lot of experimental aircraft going out there, so you tend to get a lot of UFO reports.
Okay.
Canada, Niagara Falls, by far, the Niagara Falls area is nationally probably the biggest hotspot in Canada.
Okay. And also, Irish Eyes, Tracy has a question. If you were to go UFO hunting, where would a good place to go, like in general, like near large bodies of water, flatlands, you know, Air Force bases, airports, near barns, anything like that?
I would probably stay away. First of all, make sure you do your weather analysis. You want to make sure you have a clear night as far away as possible. Light pollution. Obviously, a desert out in Nevada is beautiful skies up there. Along the shore, away from cities, really good night sky. I would tend to stay away from major military installations or spaceports, any of that stuff where you would tend to see a lot of man-made activity, airplanes coming and going. One of my favorite spots is the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon is great sky, very quiet, nothing nearby that can give me a wrong sense of what I'm seeing. You know, no major airports, no military bases, etc. So, in short, quiet spot, good weather, no light pollution.
Very cool. If anybody has any questions, feel free to call in now. The number is 909-265-9116. Again, it's 909-265-9116. And press the number 1 to speak to either Antonio, Nina, or myself. If you have any questions.
The number 1?
Press the number 1. The number 1.
What happens if I press 3?
I don't know. Try it. You'll end up in Pompehonkus or something. Who knows?
I always love doing that to you. I just really do. I'm sorry.
Press 3 and get Pompehonkus and find out. Smartass. Anyway.
We can have Paul call in. He's my deputy. Apparently he's listening in. Hey, Paul. You should call in.
Yeah, he can call in and he can chat with us also. And I'm getting another flash in private chat. On the average, and this is from Bones, on the average, how many of Antonio's reported cases are debunked as being the ISS?
Not that many. Well, again, we don't debunk. We follow an investigative process and we come to a conclusion. We've only had two cases where a person saw something and really good reports, and immediately I can tell it was probably a satellite or a celestial object orbiting space. And we'll use various software programs out there. We get the date and time of when this person saw the object, lat long locations where they're at. and only twice we were able to positively say it was the International Space Station, or a total of 5 times, so 3 more times we were able to identify either a satellite or spacecraft.
Gotcha. Any more questions at the moment, Nina?
No, I'm good for now. If anything pops up, I'll definitely let you know.
Okay. Okay. So, what is it exactly that people are reporting that they're seeing, Antonio?
It's a multitude of things. We've got everything from, I would call, exotic types of aircraft where the flight pattern was not consistent with something that's man-made. We've gotten things that look like natural phenomena, clouds that are shaped like UFOs. We've gotten experimental aircraft ranging from surveillance blimps, drones. We've gotten reports of giant black triangles. We've gotten reports of in one case, a streak across the photo, which we identified as actually a spider web. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned thus far in the last year is that as we progress in I guess aerial technology, reports tend to change as well. A good example of that was, in the post World War II 40s and 50s. The big thing back then was flying saucers, the big disc-shaped objects. And if you do your research, you'll see that the advancement in aerial technology post-World War II, the Air Force and the Army was playing a lot with those type of aircraft. And then in the 60s and 70s, it was the wave of the boomerang. And same thing, if you correlate the data, you'll see that a lot of the experiments that were being done by the government, by the military, or those types of aircraft. And then in the 80s and 90s, we're starting to see the black triangle. And again, you'll see that up now, we're starting to see things like the stealth bomber, the stealth fighter, drones that are shaped like black triangles. My consensus is that as time progresses, as aerial technology progresses, you'll also notice a trend in UFO reports also tend to change as well. And, is that a coincidence? Maybe, but if you really look at the data really hard, a lot of what's being reported is more than likely something that's man-made, experimental aircraft, things that we necessarily don't see 20 or 30 years from now. So the strange things that a lot of people see right now, I'm not saying it's addressable man-made, but there are probably things we will not see 20 or 30 years from now when it's finally decided. And then I can, hopefully I'm still alive, I can always go back and say, that's what that person saw back in 2012. So that's why it's important that historically we database all this stuff. So we can go back one day and say, so that's what that person saw 10 years ago. It's this new type of aircraft.
Antonio, have you ever worked with SETI?
A couple of emails here and there. They're not into ufology. They're strictly signals intelligence. They're out looking for communication. That type of extraterrestrial life. They're not necessarily, they don't do ufology.
Yeah, because you guys see more that you do. Will approach it almost like a paranormal event. A case, and then from there try to figure out what it is. And it's, I think it's great that you will actually call in paranormal investigators, because we have been called in a couple times because of that, and it most of the time did have an explanation, but when it didn't, it actually panned out to be something that was more of a paranormal event as opposed to an extraterrestrial event where they thought that they were being abducted.
We don't do stuff willy nilly. We have an actual standard operating procedure, a book that I authored, and we have a process, whether it's from receiving the case all the way to closing the case, there's a process in there on how to conduct the investigation. And sometimes in that investigation, it'll tell us, we need to pass this case on to some other group that deals with the kind of stuff, whether it's paranormal, and you name it. So we followed a strict process, and everybody in the team needs to follow that process. And so that way, if either I do the investigation or somebody else does the investigation, we should come up with the same.
Now, cool. Royal actually has a question.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
He wanted to know, what is the most shocking case or cases that you have had?
Oh, wow. So many. I think today's case will probably top four cases we've done, and that's because there are a lot of good cases out there. But this is one where we get cases from all over the world, so we're not able to travel. But the local cases where we can physically go to the site, we can talk to the witness, potentially get evidence, would be case 12-058, which is what we opened today. And I kind of talked a little about it. The guy who had implants taken out of his arm and you know, vanished the next day. I think that's a good case because, A, he seemed very credible. He didn't. All four of us didn't get a sense that he was trying to hoax us. He seemed terrified in some instances. He truly believed. He did see something. Something did happen. I think that's a good case for me. There are a lot of good cases out there, you know, including allegedly, you know, Men in Black case that I've got. One, I've gotten cases where. Exotic aircraft, maybe unusual turns, but those type of cases are a lot of hearsay cases, a lot of somebody told me this. We don't have actual evidence. We've got sometimes videographic evidence, but you know, a lot of that stuff can be replicated easily. So I would say today's case, 058, is a really good case, and I assigned two investigators to that. Usually I assign just one investigator. So when I have a really good case that needs attention, I'll find you.
Okay. Now, have any of your cases that you've received, have any of them reported like that they've been abducted or anything like that?
Yes. I've gotten probably 10 cases that a witness allegedly was abducted. However, of those 10, I've only opened two, and I call them pending open, because we typically don't do those type of investigations. The other eight, far-fetched, when somebody sends me an email that's 30 pages long, that's a trigger. I look at that and I'm like, okay, this person needs, and you know, as you read along, I can say, okay, this person needs some type of psychological help or needs assistance other than somebody who just does. Dust in both investigations. In both cases, I would say I look for a local person that does that stuff, and I'd email them, hey, somebody sent me this, can you go get it? And then two cases, I was interested in the witnesses, because it's easy to hear. One was the one out of Philly who he believes he was abducted, and then I have one in my queue right now out of Dallas, team from Sierra as well, but actually a active duty police officer, so I'd have to keep that kind of confidential, who claims to have been affected. So.
Really? Now, did they say that anything happened to them during the abductions?
No, because, you know, a lot of the, all these cases, it's never the person was fully awake. The person was walking down the street, you know, having ice cream, all of a sudden abducted. They were sleeping. They were dreaming. They're on the couch, they fell asleep, out of body experience. You know, I have to look at that as well. Was it a dream? Was it a lucid dream, et cetera? That's just the case I received. You know, people get other cases that, yeah, they were walking down the street, all of a sudden they end up, you know, three states across the line. But the cases that I received is thus far has been that they were sleeping. They had these vivid dreams. They wake up half asleep. They can't move their body. They see an entity that looks like a gray alien. And then, you know, they wake up. And then they'll start having dreams throughout their lives. And they feel like they're they're part of something special and they're meant to be contacting me. So that's the extent of the two cases that I've had.
Okay, so basically they were stare-fest, scare-fests. Sorry.
Yep.
I had to say it. Kind of a bad joke. But anyway, that's pretty much what it was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was saying that, you know, these two cases, which, you know, they're more for curiosity and to improve our investigative skills. The witnesses, they're normal. They're normal people. They're not like the other eight abduction cases where people are just ranting, talking to conspiracy, talking about, you know, things that are just make you go crazy. And I'm like, okay, this person, you know, as a former investigator, I look at the data and the information and the way a person writes, you know, I always like to say, okay, I'm going to pass this case on to a ufologist who's an expert in that kind of thing.
Okay. Royal has another question, and I just got it. Let me see. He wants to know, we've heard about cow mutilations. Have you ever been involved with or heard of human... And I just got booted again, guys. Hang on a second with the chat room, please. Have you ever heard about cow mutilations or been involved in or heard of human mutilation cases as well? Brazil has a big one or was a big one.
We've only received one cattle mutilation case. It was a close encounter case out of Florida. I'd have to pull that up. I forgot the name of the case, the actual location. But this case was in 1986, so it was rather old. The witness only responded once to our questions and then kind of disappeared off the planet. But it was allegedly she lived in the farm. I think it was the Orange Grove, character it was. Walked out, you know, middle of the night, saw a disc-shaped UFO, and saw what she saw, the typical gray alien doing surgery on her cattle. Next day, she saw the cattle, the cattle mutilation. That was, you know, 20 years ago, and now she's reporting it. So my investigator kind of looked at that for about a month. She passed on the case who are experts, so-called experts in cattle mutilation. But again, that's a case that's unresolved and closed and unidentified because the lack of witness support we had. As far as human cattle mutilation, no, we haven't received. I've heard of them, but we haven't received any.
Okay.
We did have a cool case where a close encounter case where somebody reported a UFO in Salisbury, Maryland, and we really we didn't obviously identify what it was, but we did call the local police, and I think it was like a day later, they did find a deceased body over there, and then I believe the coroner's report was that she died of heart attack. So was it a coincidence, you know, got a UFO report, and then the same day there's a body there. Could be a coincidence, but I'm not a homicide detective, so that's not what I do. I close the cases on the
job. Right. I'm gonna ask that if anybody has any questions, please private message me in the chat room. It's going to be a lot easier, especially when the chat room gets going with everybody. I'd greatly appreciate it. It would be very handy. And I do have something here. From Angel, how often is it heard of more in star figured as almost a cloaked figure, not flying objects? What we saw was like cloaked in star rotating figures. Is that an often sighting for people? And that's what we saw the other night out here.
I have not received any. I've heard of those type of cases where people see what they believe is something that's cloaked and a pattern of light up in the sky. I haven't received anything like that. From time to time, when I venture out into these other UFO websites, I'll see those things come up because I don't I haven't investigated those. I don't know where they are. But if your guest wants to submit a UFO report, she can go to Aerial Phenomena, you know, aerial-phenomenon.org, and we will be happy to open an investigation.
Oh, I can talk to you about that later because I was with her. I was here at my place.
Sure. You have our website. You have our website.
I do.
And we don't turn away cases, you know. Totally. I would like to look into that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what I see out here, Antonio. I see a lot. And I'm not seeing things. I'm not a drinker or anything like that. So it's amazing. I'm pretty certain of what I see. It's and there's always, like I said, shadow people. You know, there's always shadow people around too. When
you need to walk around with your camera, always on the onto, ready to see.
I usually do, but you know, of course, my rechargeable batteries were dead in my camera. I didn't recharge them, so I couldn't get pictures. Usually, I get some, you know, pretty awesome pictures, but you know, and when she did take the video footage, you know, it kind of looks grainy, but you see it on her iPhone. You can actually see it, all these different little things. On her iPhone, but she transferred it over to YouTube, and everything was totally black and cleared right out. I mean, it was just so totally different from what we saw on her iPhone and what we saw in person to where she uploaded it onto YouTube.
You lose a lot of data unless you have good software in your computer. When you upload stuff to YouTube for compression reasons and for storage, you lose a lot of resolution. But if you send me the raw data, the raw files, I can probably take a look at it.
We could probably do that. Now, Debbie in the chat room, she has a question. How do crop circles fit in, and if you have ever seen any, and thoughts on it, and such things like that. Thanks. No problem.
Oh, crop circles. Crop circles are very interesting. To me, my personally, I don't think they're extraterrestrial. I think a lot of professional groups out there have kind of debunked those and those are just man-made. It's the modern version of Greek deity. There are, you know, but once in a while you get a strange crop circle case where apparently somebody was there 2 minutes ago and then 5 seconds later there's a crop circle there. We've only had one case of an alleged crop circle up in also Maryland, and I went up there and, you know, somebody sent me a report, crop circle, and obviously I grabbed all my stuff, got my camera gear, went up there, and I was disappointed, you know, because I interviewed the farmer, and he was like, oh, no, that was me. So he did what looked like a crop circle. Crop circles, you know, I would, you know, the research that I've done is that a lot of that stuff is just man-made, sculpted, and then it's almost like mythology. There's that 5% of crop circles that are really intriguing, really, really strange. It's one of those that, you know, the farmer was there 2 minutes ago, or a plane flew over 2 minutes ago, wasn't there, and all of a sudden it appeared.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the majority of crop circles, here's a better answer, the majority of crop circles are the modern version of the deity, and 1-2% are in a strictest sense, probably something that's unidentified, something that deserves a little more attention.
Okay. Very, very cool. Have you yourself ever seen any?
No. Crop circle?
No. UFOs? Anything like that?
No, I have not.
You have never seen any? Well, you need to come out this way. Because it's amazing what I see out here. I'm telling you. And the other night was probably the most amazing night out of them all.
Yeah, I definitely want to see that video that you guys have. I'm kind of like writing here, reminding you to send the report.
Yeah, I'll work on that with her later, and we'll get the video. We'll get the video to you because it really was very intense. I mean, even to where, like, after like 10, 15 minutes, we needed to come inside because you know, our third eyes were like literally the pressure that started on our third eye was just unreal. And once we went inside and, you know, we're just like able to like kind of, you know, settle down, the pressure like went away almost as quick as it came. But it was very intense.
Cool.
It was very, very intense. But, I mean, we saw all sorts of stuff, you know. We saw all sorts of stuff in the sky that night. And like I said, there was a meteor shower. And along with that were shadow people. So it was startling, of course, at first to see them, like I said, the shadow people. But it's like, you know, there was no fear. There was no fear of anything. Do you know what I'm saying? There was no need for fear because we didn't feel fear. They were staring at us and we were staring at them.
Yeah, I'm Googling now the shadow people. It looks almost like Men in Black with these hats on.
Yeah, they're like 7 feet tall. I know, right? They're like 7 feet tall, and they're very thin and lanky and, you know, like longer arms and stuff. I mean, you know, and they are. They're kind of like cloaked, and it was just very interesting to see this whole thing. And, you know, it was just amazing. And we were, I mean, she was like, she was freaked out. She was a little bit. But, you know, it was just interesting to me. I'm fascinated by that stuff, you know, and I've seen it so much that it just doesn't, you know, freak me out that much anymore. But there was no fear, no feeling of fear at all. And like I said, it's one of those things that it's more like a scare fest, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of comical because they're staring at you and you're staring at them, you know, and we were walking. At one point,
they're
I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh, no, I'm just reading along the consensus of what are shadow people.
Okay.
So you're just saying that they're extra-dimensional inhabitants of another universe, or witches from the Cherokee Indian tribe. Yes, like I said earlier, there's been a handful of cases where there's a convergence of reported UFOs and paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's interesting. Yeah, we'll have to get you that video because, I mean, our audio was with it too, and it was kind of comical. So you'll like that. But, you know, at one point, and I'll be honest with you, both at the same time, we had said, you know, and like she said, I was on the phone with Royal, and we both said at the same time that we saw this one, and a beam shot out, a beam of light that just kind of like sweeped across the sky on the opposite side. And we both saw it at the same time. We're like, oh my God, did you see that beam? And it did. It just, we both said it at the same time, and it just like wiped across the sky. It did like a sweep. It was interesting, I'll tell you. It was very interesting the other night.
Was that part of the video too? That part right there, or just?
I'm not certain if we were able to get that. I mean, you know, we looked at it the best that we could, and then you know we uploaded it. And Angel, was that captured at all? She's typing
Wait,
in the chat room right now.
Every night. Does this happen every night?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't happen every night. It happens. I see it at least, you know, once a week, once every so often.
Do you know
when
if
I go out and
when it's a storm?
When it's a lightning storm coming. No, they appear. They appear. Actually, it's pretty interesting. But they appear usually around 1 o'clock in the morning is when I usually see them most prominently. Is around 1 o'clock in the morning.
But there's no weather conditions.
There's no weather conditions. Absolutely clear nights. You can see the Milky Way.
Because that's one of the challenging part about for an example, if somebody was to come out and try to investigate that area,
mm-hmm.
they'd have to be there for like a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the biggest
yeah.
challenges that happen in cases like this is the time frame.
Right, right.
I think we have to camp. We'll set tents out in your garden there. We'll camp out. We'll take shifts.
Well, you can set up trigger cams too. You know, necessarily not to go out there. You can set up infrared webcams you know, some of these webcams, battery powers can last for days. And if you get the wireless ones that you hook up with cell phones, you don't have to go out there. It'll transmit the signal to you via, you know, via cell phone.
Right.
That's, you know, there's a lot of ways to investigate. Yeah, it's good to go out there, physically be out there, but if you physically can't be out there, there's a way around that. But you got to make sure nobody's hoping that when you have a webcam out there, and somebody knows you have a webcam out there, there tends to be jokesters out there that want to pull away. So if you lean towards that route of cameras out there, keep the investigation close hold, you know, keep it to yourself. Don't go out and tell people, yeah, we've got 30 cameras out there, you know, this is where they are, this is the time to be operated. Because there's always somebody who wants to derail.
Very cool. Very cool. This is awesome. I'm enjoying this. Do we have any more questions? If there's any more questions, just private message me in the chat room. To message me privately, and I will answer any questions and give the questions also to Antonio or Nina, whatever anybody has. Is there anything else that you would like to add that I have not or Nina has not touched base on or people have asked in the chat room, Antonio?
You know, a lot of people ask me, what does it take to be an investigator? I get a lot of requests for some of my team or what do I need to do to be an investigator? A lot of it is first you have to, you know, be interested in the topic. You don't have to be, a natural physicist or somebody heavily involved in science. Just have an interest in it. Come up with a process. Don't do things willy-nilly. An investigation is something, you know, there's a protocol to it. There's a lot of books, manuals out there. Heck, I even give mine out to a lot of people as an example of the things you need to do during an investigation. Probably the most important thing is that you need to get out. Doing a UFO investigation, some of it you can do it from home when you do your analysis, but you really have to get out. You have to do interviews. You have to decide. And you need to, you know, approach the investigation from multiple angles. Not just get a UFO report and think you're going to find the answer on Google or on YouTube. So get out. And as you go along, improve your investigative skills. Every month, we get together, my team and I, like we did today, and we train on satellite identification and lens flare analysis. So we're always improving our investigative skills to become smarter and better investigators.
Okay. At this point, what I want to do is shout out the number again. It's 909-265-9116. Again, 909-265-9116. If you have any questions, press the number 1 if you want to speak. If you have no questions, then press no number at all. And just dial in normal. So that's that. Did you want to hang with us for a little bit longer, Antonio, to see if we get any more questions? And
I have 15 more minutes.
About 15?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is we're going to move on with this part of the show. And this is kind of fun. You know, we've got a couple of fun things going on. What we're going to do is we're going to do our health tip of the week with Dr. Spector. And I love this. He does an awesome job. So here we go.
Why, hello, Nina, and hello, Renee, and a big hello to everybody listening in tonight. This is Dr. Spector with your health tip of the week. Tonight, I'm going to talk about some eye health, things that you can take to help improve your vision. Now, you all should be taking your basic multiple vitamins that have vitamin C and E and zinc and selenium. A couple of things that you might want to think about adding are bilberry. Bilberry is an excellent antioxidant for the eye. Lutein offers great eye support. Taurine offers great retinal support. couple of other things you might want to think of are N-acetylcysteine. N-acetylcysteine produces glutathione in the body, and glutathione will scavenge neurotoxins. One of the first things that you lose with neurotoxicity is visual acuity. And the last thing I'm going to recommend tonight is fish oil. Fish oil is just one of those things that is good for everything in your body, so you'll probably hear me mention that a few more times. So, everybody, good health. Have a wonderful night. Enjoy the rest of the show. This is Dr. Spector with your health tip of the week. And if you have any questions, you can email them to me at askdrspector@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Dr. Spector. Or on Facebook, you can like my page, Vitamin Pharmacy. All right, everybody, good night.
He's awesome. He had a wild weekend again this weekend. I spoke with him earlier tonight, and he had a good weekend. So there's a shout-out for you, Frank. I hope you get to listen to the archive. He's too funny. He's too funny. Now, here's a part of the show where we like to shake our tail feathers. And Antonio, you need to dance too.
No.
Well, Bishop said last week his finger moved because he couldn't do the cardiac workout. But this is what we do. And actually, I'm going to do two songs here. But you know, this past week marked the anniversary of Elvis's death, and Nina just loves Elvis. And I made her a promise last week that I would put Elvis on this week. And also, for all of you out there, and I am going to go through the individual list after of all of you, because there's like 30 or more of you to mention, but for all of you who have tweeted out the shows in the past couple of weeks, I do have a list here. And for those of you, Debbie, who've ended up in Twitter jail because of being retweet offenders for tweeting out the show, which I greatly appreciate, this is all for you. So are you guys all ready to, like, shake your tail feathers? Here we go. I like that. And Nina, here's one more. Just one more, because it's kind of a short one. Here we go.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and I go, can't go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Let's go, cat! Car, drink my liquor from an old fruit jar. Well, do anything that you wanna do, but honey, lay off of my shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoes. Rock it. The money, looking for the show, three to get ready now. Go, 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 but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Yeah, blue, blue, blue suede shoes, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but stay home for my blue suede shoes.
Sorry, I had to sing.
Oh, I'm telling you, I am loving this chat room right now.
I have hot flashes. Well, yeah.
and you
know.
Stayed...
I just love Elvis so much. I really do.
He's dead and reincarnated, Nina.
Is it me? Did he reincarnate to me?
No, not to you. He's reincarnated.
Thank God. Well...
If Royal's curling his lip, he feels the urge to curl his lip.
I just had to sing, a blue, blue, blue suede shoes, a blue, blue, blue suede shoes. You should see my lip and the pelvic going. I mean, tell me, now, I know everybody did that. Come on, everybody.
Everybody had to. I
mean, know you
all Antonio. Were you Antonio? Come on. Antonio.
No, not me.
You were not dancing to that at all. You were not moving at all.
No,
at all?
I'm sorry.
Antonio, I'm sorry. I have to do this.
I like that better.
That's right, Antonio. I got mine last week because I didn't like John Denver.
I don't like
John. She told Bishop James. Oh, you are both lucky that Bishop James is not on tonight.
Yeah,
I would have to wah-wah both of you.
Sorry, I can't do John Denver.
Yes, you got it last week, and Antonio got it this week. So
yeah, we're special.
Great. Hey, guys, I just want to thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure. And
yes,
it was
great.
I look forward to you guys sending me that video. And if you want, I'll actually open it. I'll open an investigation.
We can definitely do that because it was amazing. It was very intense. I'm telling you, it was very, very intense. And, you know, I pick up a lot of activity anyway around me and pretty much wherever I go and stuff and have an investigation coming up here with Royal soon at a local barn that's haunted. But, you know, this really, really totally blew my mind as far as, you know, just the activity that we saw. So, and I see quite a bit of it up in the sky anyway around this area. So, you know, hey, let's do it, right?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You know, maybe we'll identify it, maybe we don't, but at least we'll give it a shot. Maybe we'll take it from there.
Yeah, definitely. Royal said, you know, thanks, Antonio. You did a great job on the show. And I know that you want to go because you're one who likes to, you have a lot of things to do. So, you get a lot of investigations. You need to go look at that sky tonight and see some UFOs yourself. Anyway, but thank you so much for coming on the show, Antonio.
Thank you, Antonio.
It was absolutely wonderful. And, you know, you answered everybody's questions that they had. And we greatly appreciate you being here and taking the time.
Okay. Great, thanks. You guys have my contact?
Actually, I'm going to type in the chat room right now what your website is. And if you want to mention it on the air, go ahead and you can spell it out. I'm going to do it right here.
It's aerial-phenomenon.org, and then the Twitter handle is aerialphenomenon.
Okay. And so that's aerial... _phenomenon.org.
A dash, not underscore.
Dash, okay. I just want to make sure that I got that right. Excuse me. Okay, there it is. It's up there. And so thank you so much, and I'll get that information to you. I'll talk to Angel about it. We'll probably discuss it tomorrow, and we'll see what we can do. And let's open up an investigation. Let's have some fun. I'll do the paranormal end if you do the UFO end. How's that?
All right, guys. You have a great night.
All right, you
okay.
too. Take care.
Thanks, Antonio. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Okay, Nina.
Renee.
I'm telling you, we have been so blessed with so many people in the last week or so who have totally retweeted out the show and even shouted out the show without even retweeting us. And
yes,
I have an absolute huge list here of people that I just want to thank because, I mean, it's just been amazing and actually very humbling that these people have been doing this, you know. And
the only thing is, Renee, is anybody who is in Twitter jail, I can't hang out with criminals, so.
retweet offenders.
I can't, you know, offenders, I just can't
You hang out with
them.
Me. I've been in Twitter jail.
I know,
you know, I take my tin cup and I clink that baby, you know, and I always ask for eggs over easy, and the bastards always give me scrambled eggs.
Think of how silly that is. You get put in Twitter jail if you tweet out a lot.
I know.
I don't understand that.
And then when I go on, you know, other places and I, you know, blast it out and make them look bad. And then when I get it, then when I get back, I make them look bad when I get on because they did that. You know, I was pimping them out and they, you know, they throw me in Twitter jail. Pretty
well,
sad.
Well, so who are these wonderful people that we definitely have to acknowledge and send out energetic love and hugs to them?
Are you
so
ready?
Down, people, hold on to your seats because Renee and I are coming over to you.
Ready to spread that energy, Nina?
Let's go.
Let's go. All right. We have Raven Storm 777. She's in New York. Lil New York Angel. We have Royal, Mr. NY 291. We have you, Nina, which is EPPS _ Nina. We have Sherry Burke. We have Irish Eyes 1223. We have Drew NYPD. We have Red Giraffe 76. We have Bigfoot Huntin. We have Aftershock RSI. We have Paratravelers. We have Zendema Paranorm. We have Mark Mater. We have Springboro Haunted. We have EP Para Society, which is your paranormal investigation team. We have MM Salib. We have Angel Christie 08. We have Maria Olson 66. We have Doodad Op. We have Kate James Books. We have Mary Burgess. We have America's Most Haunted, which is AM Haunted. We have AG Anderson 2. Which I believe is also in the chat room or was earlier. Oh, nope, he's in there. They're in there. And we have, I'm trying to read this now. Ferroni. We have Rescue a Greyhound, which is Allie. She's on your team. We also have Ghost Catcher 66. We have Dacian Only. We have GAC Dungeonware. We have Demented Warlock. We have Anna Koss. We have Dr. Spectre. We have Bones. We have the Daldana. We have Thomathon. We have Kelly Lynn Poo. GAC Lover 14 and Raven Hawk. And then we also have Carla, who's in my area, who lives close to me. She's also shouted it out. And, you know, I mean, I'm overwhelmed. I know that I'm most likely missing some people, and I deeply apologize for that. I've done the best I could to go back and track everybody, but I, you know, just a big heartfelt thank you for all of the tweets and retweets that you've done, and even for landing in Twitter jail as a part of it, because, you know, you're all greatly appreciated, and because of you, you guys help make this show, and you become a part of the show when you do that. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you. She said it's because we love it. And so, and thank you. I love you too, Tracy. So, I mean, but it's because of you guys who show your support and pushing it out there, you know, from the kindness of your heart, that we really, really do appreciate you all, because you guys show that you're a part along with us on this journey. And so that kind of makes you all family in my eyes. I love you too, Anne. So thank you again. And for anybody who I've left out, I deeply apologize, because, like I said, it's been overwhelming, and I'm sure the list is longer than I have right now. So,
and Renee, but, also, you know, the love of the show also comes from your passion and your desire to keep your dreams and goals no matter what, you know. And, you know, what I'm going to step out of line here for a second, but I don't think a lot of people know there's a lot of expenses that come with running a show like this. And I'm so glad that you finally put that donation link. If you could just please put that on the on the chat room and also shout it out, because I know a couple people did private message me that they wanted to donate something to the show, and which I think is wonderful. And so if you could just shout that out so that anybody who wanted to donate to help with the expenses, it would be great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, there are expenses and, you know, the research and everything else. And this is what we do to provide the you know, the entertainment that we have, and there are many hours, and the expenses are involved. So thank you, Nina. I'm posting the link right here, actually. It was nothing to open it up, so there's that. And Angel, okay, there's a direct link for it, Angel. I just posted it in the chat room. If you want to go ahead and tweet it out and do what you got to do, I'd greatly appreciate that. So, but, you know, it does. I mean, it is a passion of mine. I enjoy doing the show, and I love doing this for everybody, because, I mean, we all learn so much. We learn off of each other.
Absolutely.
You know, and it does become one big family. And I greatly appreciate everybody who works so hard and volunteers and, you know, shouts it out. And it's my goal.
Well, I've been on other shows, and this is different, you know. I mean, I've always found other shows to be very cold and very boring, and it doesn't just keep my interest. And this is so different because it is like a family, and everybody knows each other, and you know, everybody's starting to, you know about even personal things about each other, and it really is a family, and it's actually very different than. And what's really great is all our guests that come on always say the same thing: your show is so different. I've never been on a show like this before, you know. And that's great to hear. You know, actually, when is our topic for next week? You have to keep me in line with that, because I never remember.
Our topic, what's today's date? Oh gosh, I'd have to go back and take a look. It's date the 20th. I'd have to go back and look.
Okay, because I know I'd that.
I don't want to open it up. I don't have it written down, and I've got so many lined up. I know that we have a ton of shows coming up that are absolutely phenomenal. Let me take a peek here and see. I can do this. Thursday. Well, we started Thursday night last week, and that was great with Royal. That was a great show. And actually, we're talking about doing 2 hours starting this week, possibly, because we went over and we could have covered more. So it was a great success. So we have Parachat.
Well, one of our future show guests.
Here we go.
You ready? In chat.
Yes. I'm going to go through that right now. Alan Gilbreth is in chat. He is on the 2nd. This Thursday is Parachat with Royal and Renee. And then we have Past Lives on the 26th. On the 30th, again, is going to be, you know, the Parachat with Renee and Royal. And then on the 2nd is Alan. Okay? And then, again, the Thursday is the Parachat. And then we have Aaron Sagers is coming on. After
9th,
that,
right?
On, yes, he's coming on the 9th. And then we're going to be talking about the following Sunday. We're going to be discussing time travel,
right? And then we had some other topics that we were going to work on as
well.
Oh,
and astral projection. Astral projection is going to be first. And then we were
going
to do time travel. So
and
those
these are all topics that our listeners have asked us to do.
Yes, exactly. Yes, and that's the one thing that I strive with the show is that I listen to the listeners. And when things come in like a high request like we had for the numerology, I make every effort to make that happen for everybody. Ah, Rance is here tonight, too. Look at that.
Is
How
Rance
awesome.
Listening?
Rance is listening. He's here, too.
Awesome.
That's what he just said. That's what Royal just said. So Rance
awesome.
And Drew are both listening, and I can just run down the thing. We have Alan is in the chat room. We have Angel Corbin. We have Anne Bordeaux. We have guest 6837-7561, 8707-8977, Irish Eyes 1223, Mr. NY 291. Nina, you're in there. I'm in there, obviously. RG Anderson, Requested Greyhound, TL Walker, Bones, Val Donna, and what the heck just happened? And we have Little Angel New York. Hello, Rance. And you keep getting strong, okay? He had the surgery, and he's doing better, and he's very glad to be alive. So he's doing awesome. So welcome to the show, Rance.
Hi, Rance. It's Nina. I wasn't worried about you, Rance. I knew you were going to do good.
We weren't. Well, of course we did. We had all faith in
but
him.
But we were worried, but I'm saying we weren't worried.
Well, yes. No, you know what I mean. We had all faith in him that he was gonna pull through this. So we're just glad he's here. So
awesome.
Welcome to the show. Yes, definitely. Definitely. So, Nina, what would you like to talk about? Does anybody have any questions?
Well, yeah, I don't know if anybody... There was a couple of questions that darted through the chat room, so I'm not sure. What do you call it? We could always talk about my, you know, how I thought I was going to marry Elvis. No, I'm like joking. Elvis. As a little girl, I had a crush on... Like, who didn't have a crush on Elvis as a little girl, right? My mother says, what do you want to be? I'm like, I'm going to marry Elvis when I get older, really.
Nice. I made you a promise, and I kept it.
Thank you.
I told you that it would be there. You're welcome. And
you're
Tammy,
welcome.
You're more than welcome. And also, Nina, you're cracking up Tammy. So that just got shouted out on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, I know. I crack up a lot of people. I'm just a crackpot. No. You know, Angel, when she was here, and we actually went on our investigation, we put some crazy vlogs up, and I can't even agree. I can't even believe I agreed for her to upload them, because after I watched them, I said, what the hell was I saying? She's got some good evidence on me of, you know, saying, like, share and, you know, almost running over a kid who cut me off and you know,
I
talking about potty, you know, potty humor. And you know, it's funny because people, when we do investigations, they don't realize some of the stuff we have to get in, you know. I mean, sometimes we're really dirty. We have to crawl in crawl spaces or, There's no running bathroom as in the case of our last investigation. And, you know, you just have to just break down and make it humorous to just kind of keep that energy high, and which got us in such a crazy mood, and we actually started getting really good evidence after that. But a lot of this stuff was shared, and it was, I don't think it should have. But anyway, it was funny. Oh, God.
Rance just shout out a tweet, and he says, thanks, girls, for the shout out. Like the show. Thank you, Rance.
And Rance just told Royal he can stop curling his lip up now.
I love it.
Oh, so I'm not going to say how old I was when Elvis died, because then
I was much older than I am now. I was much older than I am now. Every year I grow younger.
Oh, yeah, so I grow younger. You're like from Mork, from, what is that, Mork and Mindy?
I'm from the planet Zebulon, you know. Come on. So I grow younger every year.
I said that, and that's why your backyard there is a hot spot, because they're coming to take you home. I keep telling you that.
They're coming to take me away.
They're coming to take me away. Ha ha, hee hee, ho ho. You know that song?
I know. Yeah, I know that song. You are on a roll tonight.
I'm sorry. I'm so sleep deprived, okay? You have no idea. I slept literally an hour and a half last night. And you know how I get when I don't sleep.
I know.
You get the witching hour is starting. Past 10 o'clock, I get very silly and giddy.
I know. Yes, I do. I grow younger every year. I choose to. So, and being from the planet Zebulon, you know, that makes me unique, so.
Zebulon.
Yeah. Don't clone me, because I can't even handle myself some days.
Oh, God, help me.
All I'm going to say to that.
So what about this thing of Men in Black? I mean, I love
those movies.
You know, it's so funny, because a lot of people that you know, I've worked with in the UFO field of research swear that Men in Black really exist. That it's obviously not to the comical way of the show portrays them, but I had, you know, I knew this girl many years ago who swore the Men in Black were after her. I'm not kidding you. And I thought she was completely insane. But she completely disappeared. One day she just completely disappeared, and no one was able to find her. And, I mean, I don't know what happened since then. It was many years ago. But, you know, it made me always say to myself, wow, what about if she was telling the truth, you know, that they were really after her? Because she was abducted, and she had a chip implant in her. There was a lot of case of, again, you know, around her, and that she had seen stuff, and she would always talk about the government being involved in cover-ups and conspiracies, you know, and things like that. So I don't know, but it was just very bizarre, and it got me thinking, could Men in Black, you know, really be real?
Why can't they?
Right. Why can't they? Absolutely.
We can time travel. We can astral project. You know, there's so many things out there, you know, that it's just amazing. You know, you hear stories of where they've approached people and have said you need healing because you have a job to do. And either an implant happens or, you know, they don't harm the person at all. You know, it just, you hear so many stories. And,
yeah. And
you know, why can't it? Why can't they? I mean, there's been shapeshifters.
Right.
There's been shapeshifters in the past. Why can't they?
Right, and like I said, it's.
Are they us? Like Royal had said one night, we were talking on the phone. Are they us? Time traveling.
Who knows?
Evolution.
The one thing I do notice about shadow figures is they do tend to try to avoid. They're not aggressive.
No, not at all.
No, at least in my encounters with them. They're not aggressive. They usually are looking at you, you know, what I sense they're looking at me. But they usually will leave. They're not there. They don't come at you. They don't charge at you. They don't, you know. So, yeah, what could it be? Other people? Or what about if it's somebody who's maybe not astral projecting, but my mind just completely blank. Help me out here. When they come out of their body.
No, out of body experience.
Remote viewing. You know, who knows, right? We don't know. You know, are they extraterrestrial? Are they, you know, highly intelligent beings, or are they, you know, entities from another? Who knows? We don't know.
Right. Royal just said, I think we're shadow people to them.
You know what? Who we might be.
We could be. I'm telling you, Scarefest, Scarefest. I mean, it's like killing two birds with one stone.
Maybe when we do investigations and the entities are there, they're saying, who the hell are these shadow people in our room? And we're scaring them away. I mean, who knows, right?
I'm telling you, the ones that I've encountered the last few weeks have been staring at me and I've been staring at them. And literally, we were walking towards them the other night. So all this activity was going on in the sky, and we were walking towards them and we're staring at each other.
Yeah, and they're not aggressive, and usually you don't feel anything of fear with them. Wait, there was a really good movie, and somebody please chatted in the chat room if you know it. It was with Nicole Kidman, and they were in this haunted house with her and her two kids. And at the end of the storyline, it so-called happened that they were actually the ghosts and died in this house in a fire, and the people that they thought were ghosts were actually the people living in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It was such an awesome movie. The Others, thank you, bro. Thank you. The Others, if anybody has not seen that movie, you have to see it, because Renee, have you seen The Others?
I have not.
You would love it. You have to try to see that movie. It was just, you know, it really, being paranormal investigator, and it just really got you thinking, like, wow. It was, I just loved it. So you definitely have to, if you get a chance to see that.
Oh, cool. I'd love to. You know, I'm telling you, you know, when you initially see them, who doesn't jump, you know? And like, the
I
reaction
don't jump.
I wish, well.
Oh, I'm only joking.
Yeah, exactly.
Joking.
I knew that. You aren't that tough. But, you know, when we saw him, I wish I had even some of the sound footage off of that video from that last week. It was hysterical. I mean, we were like, holy shit. You know?
I can imagine.
You know, and it was just, it was wild. And they were cloaked. You know, they looked kind of cloaked, but they were, like, you know, long, tall, like 7 feet
what
tall.
What do you mean they were cloaked? They had cloaks on? Like capes?
Some of them did.
Sure weren't Zorro ghosts?
They weren't Zorro ghosts.
I gotta tell you.
There were no swords.
I've never seen cloaked black figures before with, like, capes.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, I've yeah. never seen.
Totally sober.
Oh, well, you don't drink, so I'm...
totally.
Now, me, on the other hand, if it was me, you could say, you're sober, Nina? But no, I've never seen them with cloaks on like that. That is very interesting.
It was. Not all of them had it, but they did. And like Angel said, you know, it was interesting. I saw Renee... I saw coming into Renee's what you described, Nina. What... was that?
What?
In my home, Angel? I have a lot of stuff in my home. I have a lot of activity in my home. No. Explain that, Angel. What did you see? You mean outside that night? Outside, coming in that night as she was talking about the heat wave. Yes, you were in. I'll tell you, I never experienced such pressure on my third eye as I had that night. And I have somebody who wants to call in here. Area code 803, you're on the air. Hello? Area code 803, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hi, who's this?
Angel, my teeth are sticking in the room. It makes me look like I'm drunk. I'm trying to type and explain, and it's a bunch of, you can't even read what I'm saying. No, what
that
Nina
was a wild night the other night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was not like that when I was there before. And actually, when I walked out on the porch, she said, come out on the porch for a second. I just thought, okay, why? You know, any spiders are going to get me. but okay. I walked out, and it was like I was standing, and it was like a strobe light all around me, and it was like a light pink, and I was like, what's going on, you know? And you could feel it. But what Nina had described, like almost like how heat would look, like real far away, like if you're driving from the engine, but it was, but what I saw was like almost like it was dark, so I couldn't make like a face out or anything, but it had that milky fog. Remember you went inside and I was walking in, I was upset my phone had died or whatever. When I walked up the steps, remember I like jumped and was like, huh, you know, like freaked out, and you looked at me like, what? I said, nothing. It just took me by surprise. And I just saw, I mean, it was literally not even a half a ruler away from my face. And then I went, and it was like a figure, but it wasn't a figure. And it had that ripple effect, but it also had a, like, almost like a milky fog look to it. But it was dark. But it was dark outside because you could see through. And when Nina was explaining, like, how she kind of saw that was kind of, you were inside, and I said, no, I just saw it was, like, right in front of my face. It wasn't like that, the shadow people, at all. It was almost as if, I can't even explain it. But, and then I remember I peeked back out the door, and it wasn't there anymore, so I thought I was crazy. So, no comment.
I'm just laughing. I love you, girl. We had fun that night. I'll tell you, that night was really, really energetic. That night had me so pumped, but my third eye hurt until I could get it. It was like sudden. It was like a sudden, like, heaviness in the air. And
yeah, when I sent the video,
both of us at the same time.
Yeah, it was really intense. It was almost like I felt like almost something was being released from me, but then also being put in me. I don't know how to explain it. It was just like, it was so intense that we couldn't stay out. I said, it's like my third eye is just, it's too much. And then I felt like pressure on my head, and it was like being pushed like inward in my head, like someone had two hands pushing on my head. And then my third eye, as if someone was just like right there, like my third eye going into something else's third eye. It was really strange. And
yeah, it was really weird. It was painful. I'll admit it. It was painful.
Yeah, it was. That's why I was like, I can't stay out here. You can stay out there. But I was trying so hard to get something on camera, you know, because it was, I felt like I was looking through a telescope that was like 800, like a real expensive telescope. It did not look like the normal sky. It was nothing I've ever seen before. And I'm not one who's, like, all UFOs and stuff, you know. So when I say I have paranormal experiences, that isn't one of them that I know anything about. So that was...
What about if it's not... What about... You guys ever think about this? Maybe it's not UFO or extraterrestrial. What about if there's a portal and it's other dimension that you guys are tapping into?
I don't know.
The one thing makes me wonder, the one thing that was rotating with the white lights almost made me wonder about that. That almost did. But the other stuff, there was tons of stuff in the sky that night.
Yeah, there was like 10.
But the one did make me wonder if it wasn't a portal.
There was like 10.
Remember,
stars.
Portals are not just going to be in one area. Portal, our whole entire existence is parallel to other parallel universes. So it's not going to so much be a doorway. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, I'm getting real deep now. My head hurts.
Well, that was something I was trying to ask in the room but I think it gets passed because aren't they doing work there? Like over somewhere around the area? And I was wondering, I asked something in the room about could like the disturbance of the area be pulling something else from that. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Aren't they doing, like, work on the ground somewhere along that area where you live?
Yeah, they cleared a big field. They cleared a big field.
Because it wasn't like that when I visited 3 months ago.
No, it wasn't. I'm telling you, it was probably it really started picking up about probably a month and a half ago, but it's gotten more intense in the last few weeks since they cleared that land.
Whew, I'm sorry, but not to be whatever, but it's, I'm telling you, my third eye, like it was literally my third eye was hurting, the pressure was hurting so bad. It's been more intense. I don't know. That was like, it's beautiful. It was beautiful, but at the same time, it was just, it felt so intense on my head that I couldn't stay off it.
And that was at the end.
Yeah.
You know.
And I do have it on my phone. I won't get rid of it. When you watch it on my phone, it almost around the edges of the thing, it almost looks very matrixy. It's very static all the way around as well. And I don't know what that's about. And it's
and
only
it was
on
clear
that
night,
one
there
where
was,
it got real intense.
Yeah, and there was no humidity in the air either. It actually picked up a lot of peepers and stuff too, and crickets in the sound, didn't we?
Yeah.
Besides our theatrics.
Renee, I don't want to cut it, but we got 3 minutes left.
So anybody who wants to call in to listen needs to call
in. Yeah, if anybody, we're probably not going to run over late. Maybe a couple.
No,
minutes.
Not too much.
If anybody wants to run in, call in, the number is 909-265-9116. Once again, it's 909-265-9116. You can call in now, listen to the rest of the show, because if you're listening via your computer and chat, it's going to go dead in about 2.5 minutes. So that's the only way you're going to be able to listen. You can stay on chat if you want, but you can still call in.
Right. So
and press
chat room.
Five.
Five, nice.
Sorry.
Those of you in the chat room that are going to be losing the sound here pretty soon, I love you guys. Thank you for joining us. You know, it's always great to see you guys in there and having a great time, and that's what I like to see. So, and the participation. So I love you guys. Thank you. And yeah, definitely. So it was definitely a very intense evening that night. And like she said, it was only like the last couple of minutes, right? That we had.
The last 3 minutes.
Hello.
You're on. Hello.
Well, am I on? How are you?
You are on, Royal.
What a great show. Hello, Nina.
Hello, Royal.
How is everybody? Good?
Everybody's awesome.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Great show.
Isn't it awesome?
Thank you.
Awesome. You were on the phone that night. Anything you want to add about that interesting evening?
No, I just wanted to get in before you went off. I wanted to get my call in. This way I can hear the closing of the show. But what
Poor
a great
Royal.
Show. I had a great time.
Great. Thank
what
you.
What was that?
Angel said hello.
I said,
oh, hello.
Royal.
How are you? How are you, dear?
I'm good. I just feel
great.
Bad for you.
Wow, I had a lot of fun tonight. I was really dancing, by the way. I was not kidding. I was really dancing and had a great time.
Who couldn't? Who couldn't dance to that stuff, right?
Did you hear me sing? Well, did you hear me sing? Tell me, wasn't my impersonation of Elvis, like, right on?
Perfect. Perfect.
See? I knew it.
Yep. Now I want to see your share. We have to see your share impersonation.
Share.
I caught that in the chat room.
Oh, you were spared that lovely video of me trying to do my impersonation of Cher.
Nice.
I was so happy. Rance is still tuned in as well. I'm glad to
yeah.
see you.
Oh,
I don't know. He loves it.
I think
that's
so it. It was
too.
Awesome. You have more wine.
I'm sorry?
I got her eating potato chips. I got the Cher thing. I got more that I haven't even put up yet.
Potato chips? When the hell did I eat potato chips?
Oh, I heard
they
about that
health,
video.
They were the health. They were health chips. They were those triangle healthy things.
Do you mean organic black bean?
Whatever it was, a triangle.
Because you know, I don't eat chips. That's what I'm saying.
No. It was some health organic. They were triangle. They looked like little. Cracker type things, but they were in a chip bag, but they were like healthy, or in your Ziploc bag, or I don't know what they were, but they were good, whatever it was.
Oh.
And Royal lost his call.
I don't remember.
I got her, and she's like, this is what we do before an investigation. We eat. And then we listen to.
No, when I was doing that, I was impersonating Zach Bagans. Did you get that? And this is what we do. You know he does that? Nobody got that? Come on.
Oh, my God.
I had fun messing with you.
Oh, my God. I think Royal got dropped. Of course he
got dropped. I mean, why does that always happen?
I know. He lost. I think he lost service. Yeah.
No, but I had the best time doing the investigation and then going to Renee's and there's a dog. No, but then going to Renee's and then what I saw, that was, I'll say I'll probably never see something like that again. So that was an amazing experience. Odd and strange at the same time, but amazing. And so that was a great 2 weeks to be able to go from Nina's to Renee's. And you guys are wonderful. I love your show. I love you guys. And
we love you too.
You know, I'm excited about Thursday nights with Royal, and I mean, need to get the word out there because I don't know what I do without this big, huge family on Sundays and Thursdays. I mean, I look forward to every Sunday, and I just wanted to throw that out there that I love you guys.
No, oh, thank you. We love you too. And Royal and I have some investigations coming up in the next couple of weeks that we're going to share with everybody. So we're going to actually go out and do some investigations, and one of them is a haunted barn. Yeah. Yeah, we're pretty excited about it.
Did that girl ever call you about the Victorian home?
No, actually, I have to call her.
Okay.
Yeah, I have her number. I have two Victorian homes lined up that are going to be awesome.
She seemed very sweet. She seemed very sweet. We met her through the comments.
Yep, yeah, that would be IthacaHemp.com.
That we actually got to pluck the calls to do invests. I think Bill said we got like a good dozen calls like in the past week, which is bizarre. He cut it down to about 8 because the other ones, you know, most people that call, a lot of them are not normal. But, you know, and so we're down to like 8, and he's waiting on callbacks to get more information from him. But that's kind of weird that a lot of people are starting to, that is just like this recently in the past month, I've noticed a huge flux in people contacting for investigations.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, it's pretty cool because some of them are scared and some of them aren't, you know. And a lot of them, you know, they're saying we don't want them out of our home or anything like that. And I think that's cool because that shows me that they're accepting and, you know, it's not anything, the people are into it. They're not, you know, they're not afraid, and people shouldn't be afraid, you know, because you always have the control, plain and simple. You know, we discuss it all the time. You're the one in control. You're the one in control. There's no fear.
I know, you know? I learned a lot going on the investigation with Nina. I learned a lot about, you know, when you're not feeling well, you know, you need to, like, get out of there. I learned more going on that investigation with Nina and Allie and Bill. They're all wonderful, and you know, they really are looking for the truth, you know, and it was great to be able to have that experience to see, you know, what really is going on, you know, what people are really doing. And you know, I admire all of you guys. I really do.
Thanks.
Cool.
Go ahead. I felt sick. I had to leave a specific area at the time of an investigation.
That'll happen.
Yep.
That'll
most
happen.
People, yeah, well, that's the way I usually feel when there's a negative presence there. And so I you know, I just like, oh, I'm getting out of here right now. I need to regroup myself.
Right.
But
okay,
anyway,
lady.
Today.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Thank you.
Always, and I'm actually going to head to bed. I'm pretty tired.
Yep, I'm going
to
close it out now.
Hour and a half. Okay, wonderful.
I'm going to close it out now. Thanks for calling in, Angel. Thank you for everybody who listened in. Those people who were in the chat room, those people who are on Twitter. Again, thank you to everybody who's tweeted out the show, retweeted the show. You're all greatly appreciated and loved very much by all of us. And you guys helped make it, you know. You're along for the journey. It's an awesome journey. So, everybody have a great week. And I'm
yes,
going to close
too.
Out.
Good night, Angel.
You need to listen to this one.
Good night.
No, it was the anniversary of his death this week. So here we go. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Take it, baby.
Oh, I wish I was in a land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Sing it, fellas.
I was born early, Lord, one frosty morn. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Thank you. You're a fantastic audience. Thank you. Thank you.